Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 87 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons. Please visit www.patreon.com/grills today to help us out. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Linda.
Hi there.
And the Jen.
Hi.
And hello. Today we have a very special guest, the inimitable, yeah, Willie Dills Gregory.
What's going on, guys? Good to be on the show.
We are so happy.
Is this
that
my
you
third time?
Us.
Is this my third time on the show?
Is this this might be your third time.
Ooh.
Right. Uh oh.
We really, really want to have you. As anyone who's live with us probably knows, we normally record on Tuesdays. We're doing this on Thursday because we want to make sure and have Dills here. Of course, there was a big Hearthstone stuff Tuesday, or whatever. But we had to wait.
Jobs. There
was. I was actually working.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Had to, but you had to like take that shift so that you could be available when Witchwood came out, right?
Yeah, that's actually correct. Yeah, because Thursday is when Witchwood actually launched, and so that I could be there to open packs and stream all day, I had to switch with somebody, and so then I ended up working Tuesday. It's really annoying, actually. A new expansion's out, and I feel like I've gotten 3 total streams in or something over that period of time, and there's so much stuff still left to do. I have barely played any of the new decks yet.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that meta needs some settling anyway. So, Grills and Honorary Grill, what have you been up to this geeky week?
I'm gonna go first.
Yeah, you can go first.
I like how you didn't even ask.
I mean, you can see the notes, right?
Yeah, basically. So on Sunday, I got to record with Drunk Kids Gaming, Curly and Kaz on their weekly podcast. We had Gelf there too. She's awesome. We had a lot of fun. Apparently, she and I are like sisters from another mister or something. It was silly. It was a good time. It was a good time was had by all. I am watching The Punisher finally, and now I'm really pissed that I waited this long to watch it because it is so good. He's the best Frank Castle. It's so good. Ugh, it's ridiculous. And I'm finishing Jessica Jones season 2, so lots of like Marvel series that I've been watching. And then on top of that, I'm continuing my rewatch in preparation for Infinity War, which is now only a week away, which is crazy. And I almost finished reading the terrible, 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 awful series that I'm reading. It is a stupid fantasy novel. It is absolutely terrible. It's a series. I got the first one for free. I read it, found out it was a series because it ended on a cliffhanger. And so then I had to read the second one and now the third one. And it's terrible and poorly written, but I need to know what happens. And it's terrible. It's the absolute worst.
Oh, are cliff notes still a thing? Can you still get those?
I wish I could cliff notes.
I don't think they have it for this, though, right?
Yeah, no.
I bet you could Google it.
Book. Oh, I tried. And I'm not gonna say what it is because I don't want to talk smack. It's not good. I went to a game store this week. I've been doing that every week, but I actually, in particular, played Magic for the first time in forever, and now I'm like, oh, I missed this. But then also Hearthstone is digital, and that's really cool. But I don't know. I might actually go check it out. There's a pre-release this weekend, so I'm considering going and doing some sealed tourney stuff because I kind of miss the in-person tournament and the smack talk and the eye contact and the all the drama that goes with being in person. So we'll see. We'll see if I go do it again. Also, I started
it's
playing.
It's the best way to play that game for sure.
Totally.
I just got into the Magic the Gathering Arena thing, and it's cool, but it's still just like there's something about you just do a thing, and the other guy goes, okay, sure, and you just kind of both understand what's going on. And online, it just never quite captures that.
And also, when you do something and they're just like really angry, and you get the satisfaction of being like, yes, I did just do that to you. No. I'm also playing in the, I started playing in the Adventure League. Which is like a thing that they're doing for D&D on our game store does it on Wednesdays, and you basically go and you make like a character. It becomes like a sanctioned character, and you can take it to like any table. So whenever there's a DM there, it's like a registered character. So I can go to a different game store with it. I can. So I took a pregen that I ended up making kind of my own, and I love it. Her name is Barbara Ann Brickhouse. She's a barbarian.
Wait, a gen before you were gen? A pregen?
a pregen. Yeah. But it was funny because like I just picked it up and I was like, this is super. It was just super fun to just like jump into a table and like roll dice and not have to like do all the pre-planning garbage that happens. No offense to all that crap. I'm just saying. But yeah, super fun. It's like a fun way to do it too, because like if next week one of the DMs isn't there, you can just like hop into somebody else's table who has a spot and go on that adventure and actually get into game in person with people. Like, what a concept. I've been doing so much online D&D, it's crazy to forget that we actually do that like in person. Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, it's been a busy week. Lots of weird gaming stuff that I haven't been up to in a long time.
How about you, Linda?
Well, first is the plushie update.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die.
So the first one is I've made a Mario Star purse. I don't know if I'm going to put the little the eyes on it or not. I haven't decided yet. But it's just like it's a little convention purse, and I'm probably going to put some Velcro on the top so you can just kind of Velcro it shut and have that. So I've got the mushroom purses, and now I've got a star purse to go with
Fancy.
That. And then the thing that I am most proud of.
Well, hold on. Wait, I have a suggestion about that.
Yes.
You should, when you open it up, it should go doot, 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 doot. Put a little like music box in there or something.
If I could find one.
There's like, I don't know if you could find one that plays that exact song, but yeah, but that'd be cool.
Well, like those cards that have the thing you can record a message.
Cards. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It might only work once because they would just be before it got sold, but just once, be like boop.
That would sell that sucker real fast.
But I've made a couple of little horror friends. I have made the Demi Dogs from Stranger Things.
Those are awesome.
So I made a little bitty one, and then once I figured out that pattern, I made a little bit bigger one. I actually kind of like how the bitty one came out better, but I basically took a really cute dog pattern and a pattern for a flower, and I Frankenstein them together.
Way to go.
Twisted.
Those look really awesome.
Little demo dogs. But other than that, this week, I actually did a pretty, well, it's not really much longer than my normal crochet streams, but I streamed Among the Sleep, and I finished it all in one go. So it was like 2.5, 3 hours of me sitting just reacting to the horror game, and by the end of it, like, my shoulders were up here and I was really tense. And it's hilarious because the game itself, you are playing a 2-year-old in a horror game, so you're toddling around and you can crawl, so you hit control and you crawl. It's basically, you know, crouching, but whenever I would hit control, I would do this. I would crouch down myself. That doesn't really help you in the horror game, but it made me feel better. And like when I was trying to peek around corners, I was like moving my head. It's these things I'm noticing as I'm going. And I don't remember half of what I said. Like I was literally like, because the music in if you haven't played Among the Sleep and you like horror games, definitely play it because and have your headphones, because the music, I had just all of the hair on my arms was raised the entire time I was playing, and it was just like the sounds going on in your ears. So it was really good. I'm like, nobody can tell that my heart is beating out of my chest. Why am I doing this? So if you want to see me be really scared at a game, it's still up on my Twitch account under True Noob.
These are all the reasons I did stop streaming PUBG, because it's basically like watch Jen focus really hard and then freak the fuck out when somebody shows up.
Yeah. So what about you, Dills? What did you do this week?
Witchwood, more Witchwood. But now I'm in the Magic the Gathering arena beta, and so that's gonna cut in a little bit. And then also just like tons and tons of working, which I didn't intend on doing. So that part is annoying. But yeah, for people who know, like I've been streaming for a while, and that's been my only job. And then I recently started bartending just to have a little extra money. And now all the people who I work for when I do this little bartending thing, who I thought I was very specific about how I wanted this to be a super part-time gig, just keeps trying to schedule me all the time, as if I'm like a regular employee. Yeah, and I'm like, guys, no, this wasn't the arrangement. So that's been annoying, especially when there's lots of gaming stuff to do. And also, I am now planning how I'm going to be going to Las Vegas to hang out with you guys. So.
Yes.
That's been, I'm excited about that. I didn't think that was actually going to happen. And then Curtis just had this idea and made it happen. He was like, all right, we're going to get you there. So
we dillionaires.
Yeah.
We plot and we scheme.
We dillionaired it real good this time. Yeah. So it's happening now. I cannot wait.
Dill's fans love him very much. We have over and again, there's like a secret channel in his Slack that he can't see that we plot in and like send him presents and shit. Like,
oh my God, the Stream Deck is like the coolest thing that I'd never thought I was actually going to have. And,
yeah. We just make it a point to try to get Dills to cry on stream. We get him presents so that we can try to get him to cry on his stream. Like, that's half of the goal.
It works. You guys are very good at it. But I'll be in Vegas for, unfortunately, I won't be able to be there for like very long. I'm going to come for, I think, two nights, but I'm trying to finagle a third night. So it looks like for sure it's going to be Thursday through Saturday, and then I'm trying to see if I can swing it where I can stay on Sunday too, because I would like to be there for like the entirety of the thing.
I mean, I was panicking because when I was in your stream last night, you said Friday, and I was like, no, I'm like not getting there till Friday. You can't leave Friday.
So that's one of like they're trying to schedule me for this 70th birthday party extravaganza thing that's happening at the One World Theater where I work, and apparently they want three bars, so they need everybody on hand, and I was like, no, I can't do that. So I actually went out and found another person. I'm getting her hired. She's coming tomorrow. She's gonna train, and I'm gonna. So like I had to make this one. Like, I really had to go deep to make this one work. But, yeah, so basically I found a girl who's now going to bartend so that I can leave and not be there on Saturday. Right. So I think it's happened.
Yay.
Sweet.
So what have I been up to? Well, I've been up to all kinds of things. Those of you in the stream can see we finally have we've got some panels up and where you can find all our links to our things. My husband was very helpful in making our nifty graphics. We took our original logo that Chris designed and kind of tore it apart into individual components to create the nice panels. And I streamed the Sunday night D&D that Trebizzle runs on he normally streams Hearthstone, but he streams our D&D game, and we were so close to affiliate. We were so close. And I was like pulling out my hair because like Jen kept, work kept screwing her over and she was going to do that last bit. And I was like, what am I going to stream? So I just, while we played, I also streamed our D&D and finally got Geek Grills is now an affiliate. So anytime you come over, please give us a follow. As always, that's free, but you can sub to our channel. And if you've got Amazon Prime, you can sub for, it doesn't cost you anything extra. It just gives us money, and that really would help us out.
And by the way, if you are in Twitch Prime, if you have Twitch Prime because you have Amazon Prime, right now, one time per account, you can spend 99 cents and get 500 bitsies, and those bitsies count as full money to the people that you give them to. So do that, and then throw them at people.
Bits are awesome.
Yay!
So I guess with that, it is time for the Geek Grapevine. Okay, so I had to post, like, for the old school nerds, this Billy Mitchell drama. Who's sick of this dick? I'm sorry. That's my opinion.
Is this the guy?
This is the video
guy?
Game guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the guy who played, what was it, Donkey Kong?
This is
Kong?
The King Kong.
The King Kong guy.
Donkey Kong, yeah.
So last week, Twin Galaxies in the Guinness Book of World Records announced they stripped him of his high score titles. Because recently he got busted using illegal emulation software to gain high scores. So he's put out this statement, and you can watch the video on the link I'll have in the notes. He's claiming it's legit. And no. It's like really obvious evidence. Like there's a time difference that happens in the emulators. You can see. And you can, it's easily verifiable that he cheated. Or Guinness, they wouldn't have stripped him of his record, right? I mean, and he knew damn well ahead of time, according to the rules, you can't use an emulator for these records. So, once again, he's a cheater. Another VHS well, didn't he thump
cheat,
in the
He cheated, like, at the beginning, right? Didn't he, like, do the thing where he pretended he had, like, a tape of him beating something, and then the tape was weird or something? I don't know, it's like...
Yeah,
it's so
it was
funny,
like in
like,
somebody's
he's
trunk,
like a washed
and then,
up old gamer
yeah.
guy, but yeah. But he's been trying this forever.
Yeah, he keeps doing it, So he's busted again, but his statement is there for your perusal and amusement. Mm-hmm. I put this article in here. I mean, we're going to go probably a little late
it.
Today anyway. Did you read it? I thought Jen
I did read
would
it.
Definitely.
And I really liked it because it was actually a concept that I hadn't heard before. And being such a Marvel fan, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I respect DC. And we all know I love Batman, some of the best villains, like blah, 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 all that, right? But one of the things that was the most interesting was it was an angle for why DC tends
like, what's
to
the
have...
difference?
What was that?
The gist of the article is what's the difference between DC and Marvel, and this is Alex Ross's view.
Right, and it was an argument I hadn't heard before, and one of it, what big part of it was that a lot of Marvel tends to be more cohesive, and that wasn't by accident. The cohesion really is because, I mean, Jack Kirby's leadership really set all of it off in the 60s, but then the people that came in after him, he took them under his wing and prepped them for it so that they continued in the same way. It kind of reminds me a little bit on how Blizzard handles things. When a big shot at Blizzard takes off, like they're really priming the next person before that happens so that things are very much, you know, in line with the way Blizzard does things. That very much is what happened with Marvel, and a big reason why those characters, it's because they all have very similar I don't know, it's like a stylistic thing. And then because of the interactions between the world, well, in the whole universe, it just has a better energy and all the characters can kind of interact with each other better. Honestly, they're archetypal. They fit certain patterns. It's just, everything is very much more similar. It makes a lot of sense to me. I'm not explaining it very well at all today.
Yeah, my takeaway was, I mean, this artist has worked with both. And I think Marvel does have a more cohesive, as a universe, as one overarching,
exactly.
like, thing. But DC, I mean, that's where superheroes were invented. And they are very individual, they work in archetypes, right? Each character is its own... standalone thing, and Marvel is more of a universe, and this article kind of he goes into because of how they were created. So yeah, it was really nifty.
The leadership details, well, that was the part that I had never really heard about, was how Jack Kirby kind of pushed that forward, and I did not know that. That was something I was not aware of before.
Yeah, it's basically him and Stan Lee created every single freaking character in Marvel.
Right, but I didn't realize.
But DC has Batman, so. DC,
I mean, it's pointed out here.
Not
like
the cinematic
DC...
universe.
No. Obviously,
DC
the movies
fails.
Are terrible. Yeah, no. It's very sad, but like.
Except for Wonder Woman.
I mean,
The
Dark Knight is still the best comic book movie ever made.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like, so yeah, they've gotten it right a few times. They're just getting it really wrong right now. I will say, though, I watched Justice League. I never saw it in the theater, ever. And I watched Justice League, like, at home. Just kind of randomly. And I was like, you know, I'm entertained. I'm having a fun time watching this.
I was like, I felt like a jerk for listening to people and not seeing it in the theater. It was pretty damn all right. It was a good time.
To be fair, I wanted to see the theater, but it was out of the theater so quickly that I didn't even get to.
Sure, I know. Caitlin went, like, what happened?
But the previews I had seen in the theater, I think they were half-baked. Because, man, the effects were way, way better than they looked in that. In that preview, I was like, holy shit, this is terrible. But then when I saw the finished product, I was like, no, that was actually fine. So I think they did one of those things where they released the trailers in the theater when they were still half-baked, and that was a terrible mistake.
I think the cinematic universe is they were, like what Marvel did, which is really smart, was they kind of kicked it off with, you know, Iron Man and then just kind of let it, like, play out and breathe on its own over the course of tons of movies. Mm-hmm. And then DC just tried to catch up all at once.
And right, also shove everything into the story. Like in Batman versus Superman, did we really need to go there with that villain in the very first? Oh man, it drives me crazy. I'm like,
I know. It's like immediately we're on the death of Superman. Like, what the hell? There's so much to do before that. But yeah, no. Yeah. It's just they tried to immediately get caught up with Marvel, and you can't do it in a few movies. You needed to have a Flash movie. You needed to have like all these movies before you finally have Justice League, right? Yeah. But it all just happened so quickly, and it doesn't make sense. Well,
they were like, oh God, Avengers, we have to catch up.
The point that I really liked that Alex Ross made about DC, though, the comics, was like he said, DC is the foremost component of where the DNA of what makes a superhero came from. They did the first superhero, Superman. They did the first great embodiment of the dark superhero in Batman. And, of course, the first female superhero in Wonder Woman. So, like, DC lined it all up, and then Marvel, like, ran with the genre.
And knocked him down? Yeah, Marvel came in and knocked it down. Yeah, exactly. Although I will say, like, Superman is the most boring superhero, right? Like,
right? Yeah.
He's just the worst. Like, what can he do? He can do everything. Oh, okay.
It's funny, the first Superman comic I ever owned was The Death of. Because, like, my mom bought it for me. She's like, I know you read comics and you probably don't like Superman or anything, but I thought you'd like this, and she gave me The Death of Superman.
Wow. That was a huge deal when it happened. I mean, I was a little kid who hung out in comic book stores all the time, and I was very excited about The Death of Superman, and bought it and like read it like day one and everything. I had to put it back in its like cool little package, you know, came in like that black thing with just the logo on the top, and it was awesome. But yeah, that was like the only time I liked. And then it turned into a mess after that too, because then there was like 5 million new Supermans, and I don't know.
Maybe they should try
to tell that story, actually. That
I'm the weirdo that I do have... I liked Man of Steel.
The first one? Yeah, yeah.
I liked the Superman movie where it became a moral choice. Like, because that goody-goody boring... Like, it didn't make any... He never had any appeal to me. And then that movie... I mean, old fans freaked out. Like, he would never kill. I'm like... But he doesn't even really understand why, other than his dead father told him not to. Like, that having to control his power. And it's not like Zod gave him a choice. Cripe. But
he had to kill Zod. Like, he was destroying everything.
I would have liked it better if they hadn't washed out all the colors. It was just
that was weird, right? Yeah.
It was just a really monotone, like, for your eyes kind of movie. And I think it would have been better if it had been like the whole kind of bombastic, colorful kind of Superman-esque kind of story. Not even story, but like just visually. It was, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he should be bright red and bright blue, right? But he was kind of, dullish. I had a problem with that movie where they just like thrust you into everything. But it visually not the colors, like you are right, that washed out thing was annoying, but like visually, like the way that they made everything, like how cool Krypton was, I thought was badass about that. But
the design of the S, and when we get the explanation that he makes the Lois about it's not an S, it's a symbol for hope, and then that Zod had a different character on his suit, like those were really slick. I mean, as graphic design goes, so like, okay, we see it as an S, but it you can really see in that particular version that it might not actually be that. I liked that
I will say that was one of the things I remember too. Remember totally.
So who put in the Carl Castle? I didn't do that.
I did. I feel like we have to say something. This makes me sad because I didn't realize he had retired, because every time I hear Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I just assume it's an off day for him and he must be on vacation with his family or something.
Oh.
And then I just don't think about it. And then I'm like, that's really sad. He's actually been retired for 4 years and I had no idea, because I also hear reruns sometimes. So sometimes he's on NPR. If you don't know who he is, he was the voice. He's just a huge personality on NPR, but scorekeeper on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He was awesome. It's really sad. But yeah, so rest in peace. And that makes me, yeah.
Yeah, the NPR article was fantastic. In it, they embedded some audio clips of the voicemails he'd done for people. And I loved listening to them. And I don't know if you saw my Facebook post, but when he retired, I was like live watching and listening to his retirement party, and that somebody made these little pins that say Carl Castle is my press secretary. And I like, I don't remember if it was a Facebook post or Twitter, but I was like, oh man, I so wish I could have one of those. But, you know, they're for the room, and they mailed me some. So I've got a couple left. One's really worn out because I wore it all the time for the first couple years I had it. But yeah, gonna miss him. And it was really great to see his history. He was at NPR for 30 years. And before that, he started here at UNC at the college radio station. He used to play music. And like when he was a little kid, he would like sit behind his TV and pretend he was broadcasting and like behind his grandma's Victrola and like do commercials between songs. Like just.
That's adorable.
And then he got to grow up and retire in the field he loved and then become a huge smartass on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So, Angry Badger.
Boo.
Badger, Badger.
Oh, yeah. So now something for a little bit more, more hilarious.
Now for something completely different.
Something completely different. So there has been an ongoing, like, for the past couple of days in Scotland, there is a Scottish castle where they had to close off some of the castle because there was an angry badger that somehow dug its way into the wall in one of, the cellars.
Excellent.
Well, that means you just got to throw another badger in there to get that first badger out, right?
So, well, they finally, like, lured him out with like bananas and other things, because they were trying to use cat food, and then there was a bunch of people that were tweeting at them because they tweeted out, oh god, there's a badger here.
Badger yeah. Is all I keep hearing the whole story. I know. Sorry.
And so they were tweeting back at the people from the, you know, that take care of the castle, and they're like, no, you need to use these kinds of foods that he likes and then you can get him out and then you can relocate him. It's just like, they finally got him out, and I was just like, yay. So I wanted to share that, because only in Scotland, apparently.
Right.
And so you have to understand, though, because the American badger is nothing like the British badger or the European badger. European badgers are adorable, and, you know, that's why I don't mind being a Hufflepuff, because they're super cute, whereas American badgers look like they want to, like, take you into a back alley and kill you. there's these pictures in the article of, like, they've got, like, a camera looking in on him, and he looks so, like, derpy. He's just like, what? But apparently...
Cute.
Yeah, don't let the cuteness fool you. They will rip your face off.
Okay. So I did find a spill. I don't know if we want to cover that or not.
Real quick, I just have to say that this is ridiculous, and we've never covered this one. This is a little bit older one, but yeah, Redmond, Washington, 50 gallons of glue spilled across the... Oh, God, horrible. Apparently, the Redmond Police Department described it as roofing glue, which is terrifying.
That's not non-toxic.
Like a bottle of Elmer's glue, like that's already horrendous. Like imagine that, but like 50 gallons of it across. Yeah, good pictures on this one. Look for the in the show notes. This is definitely a good one. This is going in my Hall of Fame for stickiest and they situations.
Did one of those, yeah, they did one of those right. stupid play on words in there.
Okay. Wow, that's just, it's over so many lanes.
Yeah, it's intense. That's a good one. Oh, man. Yeah, I can't believe we haven't covered that one before. I feel like that one was just begging to be shown.
Yeah, I don't know. It came up pretty easily, so who knows how we missed it. Mm. All right, so it is our second anniversary. Holy Yay. Shit. We've been doing this for 2 years. And it's funny, with the schedule change that we made to have Dills here, it ended up being even more exact. Let me explain to our audience. Although we chose 420 to celebrate our anniversary, because I was going through when I was moving the website and moving a bunch of stuff around and re-upping our URL, and I had first reserved the URL at Squarespace on 420. And I was like, huh, that's meme-worthy. Let's use that date as our anniversary. Because there's ends up being a bunch of dates, right? There's when did we start our notes? When did we had that game night against Joss and decided to do it after drinking all that wine. And then there's, we posted our first episode on our website on May 29th. But do we use the day the site went up or the day we posted the first episode? And then iTunes was, when you first start, takes a little while to put stuff up. What date did that happen? So 420 seemed like this will be awesome. We'll use that and we'll always be able to remember. And then we're going to record Tuesday like normal, but Dills couldn't do it. So we're here on Thursday, which is the 19th, which is the anniversary of the actual game night that it was born, because it was like after midnight when I got drunk enough and just bought the URL.
Dills Grills versus Jocelyn's Ladies Night.
Yep, that's right.
An exhibition match of epic proportions.
I mean, it was barely a match. It was a stomping. It was a squash match is what it was.
I still will never get over. I'll tell this story every time, but I'll never get over the fact that I watched the replay from their side later. And Dills is trying like hell to get us girls to organize. We're playing Heroes of the Storm. And he's trying to get us to strategize, and I'm like, nah, fuck that. I'm playing Sergeant Hammer. I'm going over here. Fuck you. Whatever. I put it on the phone. And so we're just, like, not even listening to Dills. Dills is trying to strategize, and we're just being assholes.
Well, and any strategy like, calls it did that were listened to came from other people, like Chris. Sure.
And then Jocelyn's. Like on the ladies' night side, you listen to it later, and they're just like, "Well, they've got Dills on their team. He's got all the strategy. You know, we all know he's pro. He's probably like running this whole thing." And I'm just,
they were totally convinced that you were just coaching us through.
And Jen is just like Leroy Jenkins.
I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I fire stuff. I'm a tank.
Yeah, it was pretty funny because I remember too. Like, yeah, they were like trying to target me. Like, oh, get him, and I'm like. Yeah, now you're just dying to them because they're like, I was like, you guys actually got together and like practiced and stuff and got ready. And like, then we just got in there and everyone was like playing characters that they knew. And yeah, it was just really, really
fun.
Yeah,
we were practicing and you were putting on makeup.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's right. And I played all women characters. Like, I think I played Johanna and I can't remember who else, but like characters I had never played before. Like, I was not a Johanna player. But yeah, it was like, we were just, this is like an idea. And then I just kind of shit talk. I just wanted to shit talk Jocelyn for a little while. And then, yeah. And then here we are two years later. There's a show. Now there's a show.
Yep. The show was born. And yeah.
It was really the excuse we needed to do what we wanted to do anyway.
Yeah. Because like we were just in the chat and afterward and stuff and being so high on the win. I was so high. I still get high thinking about that ETC, that last slide in. Oh, yeah. Oh, power slide. Yeah. Mosh pit for the win.
Ember was.
And I look up and Dills in the stream is doing like the ETC dance. It's like my best Heroes moment ever.
And he's doing it with makeup and a bow on, which is pretty much the best.
But, yeah, so we were just hanging out and talking, and it just kept coming out, like, you and me and Chris, and, like, all of us were like, I want to do a podcast. I wish I'd like to do a podcast, but what do I do it about? And, like, all our own self-doubts about how to do it and what you need and what about, but we were just all in it together, and we're definitely on that high from playing together and winning as a team, and it's like, fuck it, let's just do it. You know,
and
let's take Kevin Smith's advice and just do it.
I love it because it's one of the things
do it, and Joss, who said, more women podcasters, yes, do it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, like, that's one of the great things about it is that we were already, we had such good examples to follow, too, because, you know, I know Ember and I, being obsessive podcast listeners, we listen to a lot of great shows that are out there. And that's why I always love when I talk to Jules about it. I was like, yeah, we finally just did it. And she's like, yeah, whenever somebody asks me if they should start a podcast, I tell them, go and make, like, 12 episodes. Like, go and do it for 12 mm-hmm. episodes. And then guess what? You'll have a podcast. That's how it works. You just do it.
Go do.
And, yeah, and then it kind of finds itself, too. Like, I think we started, we weren't exactly sure exactly where it was going to go. And it's gone a lot of different ways. But it's really awesome to hear, too, when I hear people talk about it. I've had people bring up a couple times the episode that we did on New Year's. And we've had a few episodes like that where it's been really emotional, but also I'm really glad that that episode was made because I think that there are stories that need to be told and we get to help do that. And that's just awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people about this. Like if you listen to the first time I ever did a podcast, it sounds really bad. I remember at the time I was doing it all kind of, we all got together in the same apartment and I set up all this stuff and everybody had headphones and we could hear ourselves in our headphones. And I listened back to it one time and I was talking like I was drunk because my audio was slightly delayed in my headphone. So I was hearing myself just the split second after I was saying things. And it just made me, have you ever seen those boxes where you put headphones on, then you try to talk and you can't talk because it's
yes.
playing weird audio back. Yeah.
Yes.
It totally screws you up. And this is basically what I was doing to myself. And I listened to that. I'm like, that's where I started. I didn't know anything about anything. I knew how to kind of be on stage. I'd been in punk bands and everything. I'd been a performer. I'd done that kind of thing. But this was like a whole new, this was just a giant leap into a new art form, basically. And then I think about like how far I've come since then, and I've done audio production, I've done all the bumper work for podcasts, I've been on many podcasts now, and it's like, yeah, if I just hadn't taken the plunge and made a bunch of shitty episodes of that show way back then I wouldn't be doing this now. I wouldn't be doing the Angry Chicken. I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be someone that gets asked to be on other shows. Like that just wouldn't happen. And so that is the biggest piece of advice. Anytime someone's like, I want to do this, I don't know how, it's like, well, yeah, nobody knows how at first. And you just go until you get it right, you know? Mm-hmm. And you'll get it wrong many times along the way. And you can't really let that bother you. We have people send us, you know, negative feedback all the time. Like, oh, how come you don't do enough research and blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, if you say things, if you just talk into a mic as much as I do, you are going to say something wrong at some point.
Yeah.
The moment I care about that is the moment I become a shittier podcaster. So basically it's like you just have to let go of all that stuff and just like just go for it. Just let it happen. Right. And you guys have done that. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's funny. If you look at our iTunes reviews, Saranex from the other podcast that I end up being on, which was a really neat, exciting opportunity, that I want to bring up in another context later, but he in his 5-star review of us said, like, despite some technical difficulties, you know, this is a great show. Because there still is always something. I mean, the best of us. I hear Tom Merritt has trouble because, I mean, you're using different people have different access to different equipment, right? So, like you, some people are calling in their car on their phone. When we started recording, I was just plugging my earbuds into my Mac because I didn't have
Every time I think of that, I think of TMS where Jerry was doing his Tuesday segments when he was still doing the Go game, and he'd be like, "Yeah, I'm in Terminal B of this airport," and he's just doing a podcast segment. You know, it's like, hey, you know, whatever, you make it work.
And we used to use ZenCaster because
I had to log into a thing and stuff. Yeah.
They've upped their game, by the way. I will have to say they finally did get around and fix some of the issues. But yeah, no, we didn't even know. that's the thing, is that there's so many options, and of course everybody's got a blog post or some YouTube video about the best way to do this or that, but I think at the end of the day you have to just kind of just get together and say, okay, what's going to be the easiest method for all of us to participate?
Yeah.
And we were like, it as we've had to,
in three different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. And trying to coordinate times and account for lag, which is, you know, a little issue we had with Zencastr, but they seem to have upped their game where there would get, weird audio tracks out of sync. But I will say, for people who are starting, for free, shit, yeah, man, Zencastr is really great because it's web-based, it doesn't put a lot of stress on your machine, and it gives you separate audio tracks for as many people as you throw in there that you can put together later, also for free. We pay for Adobe Suite. I really like Audition. I had a hard time with Audacity. But it has pretty much all the same features, and Audacity is free. I know a lot of great podcasters use Audacity. So that's another free, mm-hmm. if you want to learn how to mix things, you can find good tutorials online about it. And so those are two really good free things.
For certain things. Like, it's the easiest program to just pull up and just record something off of my computer, right? So, like, if I just need to record, like, audio from a YouTube video or something like that, like, you could just open it, hit record, play on the YouTube video, and then boom, I got it, right? And so, like, that kind of stuff. But yeah, I use Audition as well for actual mix downs and things like that.
I've been using
a way superior program,
an online site called vid2mp3 that will, you just put in the URL for the YouTube video and it'll rip the sound file for you to an mp3.
Yeah, I know that one too, but I just want to grab like a section, you know what
yeah.
I mean? I don't want to have to like edit it later,
edit
so I
it
just
later.
Yeah.
Yep.
Linda, how did you, like, okay, so Linda came in to join us within the last year and mm-hmm. is now officially a member of the Geek Grills. I think it's been about 6 months now, if I'm not mistaken. It's got to be darn close to it. Right. But you were already doing another podcast, and that's actually how we found her, because we had her hubby on to talk about his show, and then we found out she had a show, which was awesome. So how did you get started with podcasting?
Well, Matt, which is my husband, he got started with it first, and he was doing his podcast, and he wanted to have an all-girls episode. So the three boys that are on there, the three men that are on there, my husband and his two friends, they got switched out for the night with me and the SOs of the other two boys. So it was the wives' night, basically.
It was like the widow cast.
Like widow cast. And so, like, right after I did that, my friend Joey contacted me and said, I want to make a women in gaming podcast because I can't find any that are specifically women in gaming. And I think that's why when she was looking, she may not have come across yours, because yours is kind of like
we talk about
all
everything.
Geek. Yeah.
All things. No, it's funny too, because Ladies of Leet, part of the reason we wanted to get started was because Ladies of Leet was on hiatus at the time, and that was something I had listened to for a long time, and I was like, where are the geeky chick shows? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, so like, and it was at a good time, because like it was right after that, and I was like, you know what, that was really fun, so sure, Joey, let's do this. And then we got Kelly, who is one of the other girls that was on with me on Matt's podcast for the ladies night, and we just kind of started, we just had a list of things we wanted to talk about. We roll a die singular, we roll a d20 to figure out what on the list we're going to talk about. And then we just kind of go cold, which is sometimes entertaining, because I had forgot to read over the list a couple times, so I didn't actually know what was coming. it's interesting, because for a while, it just kind of felt like, we're just kind of shouting into the void. But recently, I mean, then, like, Matt came on y'all's podcast. It is a program.
It is a program.
And then he was, like, t- told you about our podcast, and then we came on, and then the invite came, and it, you know, it was just kind of networking.
after the almost meltdown. So those who've listened to the show for a while know that Jen had pretty much like a meltdown towards the end of last year, and stepped away from like everything ever. And one of those things was I almost left the show. I almost left doing Geek Girls completely.
We were already down to two because we had never replaced Chris.
And I was like, man, you know what? I need to get away from everything. And just, you know, had a lot of personal things going on, as people know. But the one thing was I missed it so much. I felt like there's just nothing like this art form. I think, Dilsey, you've said that, I've heard you say something similar before, is that there's nothing quite like podcasting. It's just a different type of art form. You're talking, you might not be talking to your audience directly, but you're talking and you're going to get feedback from them. And a lot of it is good, even though some of it is not, not always so great, but I totally would miss it. I mean, I think I was gone for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I don't know. And then I came back and was like, I don't think I would ever want to stop podcasting, not any time in the foreseeable future. It's just such an interesting and exciting way to share my thoughts. And then also the feedback that I really enjoy getting feedback from listeners and hearing what people think about conversations, or we have somebody on and we have a conversation or an interview that goes way differently than what I'd anticipated. And then we get to learn things about people that we think we know a bit about, but we just get to see a completely different side of them. I think Garrett was one of my examples on that. Like, it was such a different conversation than I anticipated. And Mike TV would be another example. Mike TV Live, like when he came on, we talked about just the genesis of his music in a different way from what he talks about when he's on stream. And those are just, it was just a very, 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 it's just a cool thing to do, man. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, the timing was amazing because we had actually just had Linda and one of the other Glitter Dice, I don't remember which one.
Kelly.
Yeah, and Kelly as guests.
Because I remember because Joy was out of town at a Super LARP. I forget which one she was at. I just looked. It was episode 67 is when you had us on. And then 68 was when I started helping.
Yeah, it was like right away. It was like, we had you guys on, and then Jen's like, I can't do this anymore. I was like, shit. Well, wait, think about it. Just take a break. What am I going to do? And then I was like, well, we got to replace Chris no matter what anyway. I'll just get one more person. And then I had a couple people show an interest, and I had put out the feelers to you three, and I was like, I'll take whoever I can get. And and you came on, and our rapport was fantastic right away. We did a couple of really good shows, and I'm glad I didn't give it up, because I did almost throw in the towel. I mean, that was like the panic. When Jen left, I didn't know what to do, because for it to be all me and the only original and
physically
all the responsibility. Yeah. I mean, because we split up tasks at the beginning, and that's another thing. I'll recommend anybody who's having podcasts, if you want to do this and you've got other people to work with, or you have anyone who will help you so that there are designated tasks, do that so you don't pull out all your own hair. So I was like, can I do this? Do I want to do this by myself? Who the fuck wants to just hear me talk? I'm not that interesting. Like, all those doubts from why I didn't start one to begin with came back crashing in. And I was just like, no, man, fuck it. We've been doing this really great thing. And I've gotten feedback from people who are like, we touched them in some way or wanted us to do stuff we hadn't done yet. And so I was like, and then Linda had my back and we kept going. And then Jen was like, I miss it. I'm sorry. I want to come back. I'm like, yep. I didn't take your name off. Nothing. You belong here.
Yeah. Like, Scott's gone through 7 hosts at some point, like at this point, you know, and he's just the guy who's just always been there. But yeah, it was him and Andrew, then it was him and Randy, then it was me and Terpster. Now it's Patrick. And I guess Garrett now is like always on it too. So it's like, you know, it's just there's a lot of fluidity to it, and you can't really you can't really get too hung up on, oh, it needs to be these people. It's like it's like a sports team or something. It's like the name is what matters as long as the spirit of it is still the same. People come and go. And it is, it's a hard thing because sometimes it doesn't feel like you're getting rewarded, right? Like sometimes like it feels like the audience isn't growing fast enough, or you're like, oh, I'm putting in all this time and what am I getting back, and like all that kind of stuff. But really, if you just love doing it, you can't let the other things get in the way. Like it's not going to be like your job. Right? This is stuff that I had to kind of come to grips with at some point, is like, it's not going to be like, okay, I go in and at the end of the week, like, here's a paycheck. And like, I know how this is going to work, right? Like, I know if I go in and I do this, it's all going to work. You don't know if any of it's going to work. You don't know if it's going to be like the greatest thing ever. Like when we started the Angry Chicken, it was just kind of on a whim, you know, it's like, okay, well, there's this game coming out. I heard you're really into it. I'm really excited about it. And then everything just kind of like hits. Right. And that's 10 years into me podcasting, is like when a first thing just kind of like hit like that. Right. So like you can't ever expect it to work like anything else ever does. It's the weirdest thing ever. But anytime you do a creative endeavor like this, it's just always the outcome just varies wildly, right? Well, so
we're totally just doing it for love too.
Yeah. Well, it's taken like for like Glitter Dice. We've been doing that for a year and a half ish by now. And it's only just now, like after we had an interview with you, we've had an interview with somebody else. Now we actually had a person physically who like is in from Atlanta doing an actual article about us coming up soon. So cool. She actually came and met us in person and took our pictures, which was really weird. But so it's, you know, it's not something probably that's going to happen like overnight, but just keep doing it. And
oh, and we've seen it grow too. I mean, that's the one thing is I can tell, because like there are like two moments in particular where I was like, oh, cool, like this is actually going somewhere. And one of them was at Nerdtacular. I think I've told the story before, but I was there and this dude, I was sitting at a play table for this game that these guys were working on. And I thought the guy was like asking for the seat. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm done. And he was like, no, no, I just wanted you to sign my Nerdtacular print. He's like, I'll listen to you guys. And I was like, oh, yay.
Right?
Like, oh, that's awesome. And then, you know, and then the other was this, in the last couple months, I've been asked to be on a couple podcasts. I mean, it's happened a few times, but now, and that's really, and it's exciting every time to be like, oh, people actually want to have me on. And it was the most intense when I was on Mind of a Geek, because I was like, I got a little nervous because I was like, I'm going on and I'm just talking about me, like I'm the topic, like that's intimidating. I'm like, I'm a chick, I do stuff.
I'm not that interesting.
But it was really fun, and I got a lot of really interesting feedback. I found some people that wanted to like work on some stuff together, just from doing that and just expanding just who I get to chat with and game with and geek out with is really awesome. So I definitely have been more than happy that I did this. And you're right, it does take time. You never know how long it's going to take. But you know, you just keep doing it because you like it, and then the listeners come.
Yeah, I was.
And even if they don't come, you should just keep doing it. Like I don't know. Like that's what I told people too. I'm like, look, it might not ever do anything. You might just be talking into a microphone by yourself for like forever. But if you're having fun doing that, who cares?
And like I Dosa, do stream to the empty room. Who cares?
I mean, I was having, that was the thing that really put me over in the like, I'm gonna just keep going no matter what somehow, because it's always been fun. It's not hard and I don't get all stressed out about it and stuff, at least not for a long time now anyway. We did have some drama a long time ago, but you know, it fills me up. When we're done with a show, I am so happy. I'm just like, that was so great. Like sometimes we have like those unexpected ones too, Jen, like you were saying, like yeah, just holy shit, that was good. Like, and the conversation goes wild and I'm like, that feels so wonderful. Or when I run into somebody and they're like, I was listening to your show and holy shit, that was blah blah blah, and I have these thoughts, and like that feeds me like I'm doing something creative that like people care about, and and I have to keep doing it. It gives me my spoons back so that I can get up the next day and not feel like I'm fucking useless, you know, or just the person that makes the food in the house. So I was on the Part-Time Gamers. That podcast started in April, get this, April 23rd, 2015. I was just looking back to when the first episode was. And I had been listening for a little while. I think I found him. He had done an ad on TMS. And I was listening, and then they needed to replace a host. So I interviewed with Sean for that co-hosting gig. And I was just like, well, and you need a woman. I mean, come on. Just for point of view. Why would you not hire me?
And, show format. Two dudes, one chick. Yeah, podcast created.
But it was like three dudes, and then it was two dudes. And then I was like, you need me. And I actually beat someone who's a regular at all of our streams, which is kind of neat. I didn't know that until later. I found out awkwardly that, like, it was someone I know online that who was also trying to get it, that gig. So I did, like, a show with them, and then they went on hiatus. For, like, a year? Ish. I had no idea when it was coming back. I was like, oh my god. And then, you know, it came back, and then it was going well. Scheduling was really hard. They've got, you know, growing families, so, you know, that's a thing. My kids are old. They're like, shut up and go away. So there's that, and scheduling around real jobs, which, you know, I don't work for other people unless I want to, so I don't have that in the way. But, yeah, it was recently canceled. And it hurt. Like, it wasn't even put as a hiatus this time. Like, I don't know if it's ever coming back. I talked to Dills right after that. I was like, hey, man, have you ever had one just go under? Like, what do you do? Do you make more? You try, you keep going.
I supported like, I one. There was one that I really liked out that there had to too. Stop, and it was sad.
Yeah, Stormcast, we just stopped.
Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah. It was really brutal. Like, I loved playing Heroes of the Storm so much at the time, and everybody was just covering the who's doing the best, what's happening in the esports scene, and it was just like the Stormcast was the one that went across the board. Like, it was from everybody from noobs to pros could get to listen to that show and enjoy it. And that was a void that I didn't feel like was going to be filled afterwards. And to be honest, I haven't really found anything that really did kind of fit that
spot. I actually
kind of
just stopped playing the game. I stopped playing Heroes basically after that, because it just kind of, it was like the thing keeping me going with that game. I recently like just logged in and played, and I had a blast. And I was like, man, why did I play this game all the time? But really it was,
stay a while and listen.
Sure. There's certain things too, like podcasting does have this effect where it will, like, I play so much Hearthstone, and I think I would play so much Hearthstone regardless of doing the Angry Chicken. I think I just love the game that much. But there's a long period of time where I was just playing World of Warcraft so I could talk about it on the instance, and that was all that really kept me doing it, right? And that's one of the main reasons why I'm not doing the instance right now, is that I just found myself being like, I just do this so that I can talk about it, but I don't care about talking about it. I don't care about doing it. I just want to be on this show because I want to hang out with like Scott and Terpster. But I don't know, is that good enough reason to, like, you know, that's why I think you guys are smart to have a show where you kind of do whatever you want, right? I think that's actually, that can make things difficult, because it's hard to find, like, podcasting kind of in a way needs to be targeted. But when it is so targeted, it makes things a little bit more difficult when it comes to sustain, right? Like, I really want to have just a catch-all type of show like you guys have. Because you can just, if you don't want to talk about something, you just don't. Talk about something else, right? I can't go on the instance and be like, yeah, I didn't play any WoW, and I don't care about WoW right now. And you know,
yeah, we didn't, like, the game gets stale before the expansion. We don't have to, like, just sit around and go, nothing new this week, right? We can just make up some shit. So yeah, it is nice to have that freedom. There was a Nerd Parents show that I used to love too. And they had asked me to be like a column contributor on their website, and then they just went tits up one day, and I missed that show. And that's a gap that I don't think has been filled
No, there's a couple.
There's a show called Kids Are Hard, but I don't know if they're still going or not.
They kind of come and go. The one thing I will say is that, you know, it makes me think about what I want going forward. And I think one of the big things that I hope for our show is that we continue to do what we love and what we want to. We talk about what we want to talk about, and we never try to mold the show to fit what we think an audience wants. But instead, we're going to produce what we produce, and there's going to be an audience for it or there's not. And that is, I'm adamant about that. And as long as we continue to do that, I'm happy.
That was one of the best freaking things when Linda came on board, because I don't know when we did the first show you were on, and then for the next one, you were like, you looked at our list of topics, potential topics, and you were like, just so you know, I'm not afraid of the hard stuff. Let's do it. And we did the body image stuff, right?
Yeah. Like, and I was the second show was on, you're in.
Like, Flynn. Because yeah. We really
Just forward.
Well, so the hard topic ones have been amazing.
Some of the best ones that we've made.
Yeah.
Except for the one where we learned that Jen tried every diet ever. That was awesome.
That was hysterical. That was like comedy worthy. And I'm glad we weren't streaming at the time, because I would just been like shocked face the whole time. I was just continually stunned over and over at that.
Hey, at least I never did the cotton ball diet.
And it's funny, you were talking about how surprised you were by Garrett, too. Garrett is the only one I was so nervous about. Well, no. Jury, too.
Jury.
But for the same reason. I was like, they're so yelly. What if they come on and they start yelling? Like, because I'll just yell back, and that might not go well. And both of them were like,
you're just watching the waveform of the mic, and it's all clipped. It's just this the whole way across.
It's like, we could just end up devolving into yelling at each other. And then Garrett was like, sweet and nice and complimentary and gracious. And then Jury, I think we like woke him up. He was all like,
well,
kind of not coffee yet.
Poor Jury was in the middle of a Kickstarter that we were helping him pimp, and that is pretty much like running a marathon for a month when you do a Kickstarter. So that's pretty much what that was. And because that was his livelihood, it was a tough time to be nabbing him, because it's just, he was just from thing to thing to thing to thing. Man, yeah, it's been a fun road. I'm excited to see where we go. I really am excited to see so much more feedback that we're getting, and I hope that continues. I don't remember if you want to pimp that, but I think we should, because it's important to know. Chime in, people. Do it, please.
Yes, please. Please chime in. Email us at geekgrills@gmail.com. Or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. No kidding. I might actually even answer the phone. It comes to a landline in my house. You can also tweet us.
Do that. You can call Amber.
You can tweet us at Geek Grills. But I will know it's you, because it'll come in the Google line. And, you know, I'm not a complete moron. Reverse look up is not going to find my house. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating right now? And Dills, thank you again. Thank you for being here. You have been here from the beginning. You were like founding first honorary grill friend.
First honorary grill friend, for sure.
I am so excited to give you a big hug when I see you in Vegas next week.
I'm very excited for that as well. Yeah, no, I'm just super proud of you guys I know it was a thing that just kind of happened out of thin air, and sometimes those are the best things ever. And, you know, it's very cool that there is the genesis of it has something to do with me. I'm very happy about that. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about Vegas. Number one, because we're going to have a Dalton, another Dalton will happen. And for those of you that are billionaires, you know that a Dalton is when three or more billionaires hang out in the same physical space.
You get three or more billionaires in the same place. It is a Dalton.
Which I totally forgot to tell you this, Dills, and I got to send you the pictures. So a buddy of mine who does indie wrestling in Austin, fun fact, he got to go up and be one of the boys recently.
Whoa, for
Dalton Castle, and I'll have to send you his picture. It was great.
That's awesome.
But anyway, I'm really excited. I'm actually Jackie! Really excited about that too, because he's going to be coming to Phoenix, hopefully, and I'll be able to go up there and watch him wrestle and hang out. But I'm excited about Vegas. Of course, I'm also really excited because tomorrow is my first night of officially running a tabletop game that's in Kickstarter for, it's a Fate system called Uprising Dystopia. We did kind of a playtest of it last week. If you do the Kickstarter, you get the full PDF. And I play tested and beta tested this tabletop like 2 years ago. And I was really excited because I saw it on Kickstarter. I'm like, this sounds really familiar. Oh, shit. I beta tested this. Holy crap. and so now I'm running it. And what's even more exciting is I reached out to the authors and they're coming on the Geek Girls podcast at some point in the next month or two. So I am super excited to get to chat with them. They are a husband-wife duo. I didn't know that because they have different last names, so I had no idea. And their world is super incredible and awesome. It's like future Paris and resistance and the government and hacking and all kinds of cool shit. It's super fun. So I'm going to run that tomorrow night, and it's going to be sweet.
Cool. How about you, Linda?
Well, I am not able to go to Vegas, which, tear, sad. I've got a LARP coming up. Garden of Destinies is coming around again, so that's my jazz singer. I'm going to do a test tonight, actually, after we stop streaming. I'm going to test out rag curls. I'm going to see if I can get my super flat, fine, thin hair to curl for more than about an hour and a half.
So I'm gonna stop sucking hair. That's yes. Not mine. Mine doesn't do shit. I get it.
Yeah, so I'm gonna you know, try the rag curls. I'm going to sleep in them. Should be okay, you know, won't be the most comfortable thing, but not the most uncomfortable thing I've done. And then I'm going to see how long the curls last tomorrow. I'm not going to be doing anything strenuous. I'm going to work. We'll just see how long they last.
Sorry, I'm getting like a million texts. Weird no. shit about my son discovering what Cassain is, so we can't have cheese. But the biggest, like, oh my god, Jackie Hearn, thank you so much. We have our first sub.
Yay! You beat me to it.
Super.
Clever subs.
Da 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 da. Sorry. Yes, I'm obviously really, really looking forward to Vegas. I'm looking forward to seeing the people, like, oh my god, the Diamond Club people and the Frog Pants people, and I think especially the Curtis. Can I say that? I think he's my favorite.
Curtis is one of my favorite people, and I can't wait.
And finally, yes. Dill's in person.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I'm super excited about Vegas too. It was something I didn't expect that was going to happen, and now it's happening. So like, it's going to be really cool. Yeah, like I haven't met you in person before. I've hung out with Jen a bunch in person, and getting to hang out with her again, it's gonna be cool. Come on, we hung out all the time.
We were BlizzCon buddies for real. Yeah, that was quite right. The adventure.
Did you guys stay in like a hostel or something?
No, it was an Airbnb, but it was like the guy was clearly trying to like sell the place, so there was like nothing in there at all. It was just like air mattresses, and you can't use the kitchen and a whole thing. Yeah, but it was super cheap and really close, so it was perfect actually.
Well, thank you very much, everyone who has come in live tonight. Remember, you can usually find us Tuesday evenings at the same time, but 7:30 Eastern, at twitch.tv/geekgrills. And remember, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub for free. Follows are always free. So check us out over at Twitch.
And those of you that would like to support us even more, remember, we are wholly supported by our patrons, by those who sub to us. And it helps us continue to improve the show and get better equipment and use better software and do better things. And that would be really awesome. Plus, I would like to have us to have game night. And we're inching forward toward getting to our goal to be able to do a monthly game night so you can have more grills. And so, as usual, thank you to all of our amazing, wonderful patrons. And
yeah, I believe we lost welcome. One and gained one. So.
Welcome to a new patron. So Sean, aka Flavor Toothpaste. He's a super fun Diamond Club game night buddy, and I'm really excited to welcome him to our fun our wall of heraldry. He'll be added to, as one of our Geek Girls patrons. So yeah, welcome.
Yay. What flavor?
Just hair.
And also, leaving a review on your podcast catcher is free. So, and it helps our helps us to be found on whatever podcast catcher you use, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever, what have you. And you can also join our Facebook page, and you can follow us on Twitter, and you can help spread us spread the word there. That's what I meant to say.
Taco Tuesday.
No Sorry. Taco Tuesday strikes again, but it's Thursday.
I also want to thank Cyranex from Caffeine Induced Productions for the graphic for Linda for her true new page that we now have showing on our Twitch.
Love it. Thank you.
Where else can we find all of you on the interwebs? Linda?
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, and you can find me on Twitch under the name True Noob. Like I said, for a few more days, the video of me freaking out to Among the Sleep is going to be up. So you can go and have a gander at me being scared out of my pants.
Goes over to Linda's channel immediately. I can be found at The Jen Says on Twitter. And also everything I do is at thejensays.com because I own it. And I do stream at twitch.tv/thejenplays, as you can see proof of, because I am back from all of my international travels. There will be more streaming to come. In fact, I will actually be streaming with Neshcom, Bryce, here in just a little bit after this. So, I'm sure I'll be hosting that channel. So check that out. Oh, yeah, Dills. I guess Dills, we could probably find
Dills. Pimp your stuff, dude.
I'm at Willie Dills on Twitter. At Willie Dills on Twitter and twitch.tv/WillieDills. That's where you can find me.
And I can be found. All the things. All the things. Dills does lots of things.
He does.
I can be reached at 9012 on Twitter and Twitch. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
Game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Ha ha ha.